Papa and I are going to record, so y'all go ahead and shut the door.
Welcome back to Vintage Answers with No Greater Joy. Let's finish up our letter with a discussion of happy, respectful obedience.
Now, looking through your letter here, it's obvious to me that your son really doesn't respect you. You say here several times that you said, number one, I suggest, and he says no. You'd rather go read or watch a video. I always seem to be the meanie giving him work. He avoids me, so he won't have the work to do. You say, I struggle through with getting projects for him. And then you say, several more situations here where you mention, he says, okay, say, he's not hearing me, pretends not to hear me when we call. And you say he's not doing the job he's given. He's playing, he's grumbling, he's unkind, he's dawdling. The job takes forever. He doesn't want to do it. Now, you suggest something. What you need to do is determine what level of obedience you expect from your child and demand that. Don't ask him. Don't listen to the grumbling. Don't discuss it with him. If it comes to a matter of taking the garbage out, you tell him to take it out, and there's no discussion. Now, the only reason a child grumbles and complains and is tardy is because it sometimes works. In other words, if that hadn't been effective in the past, then he wouldn't have that response. Sometimes he's able to get out of work, and so that's the reason he resorts to these measures, is because you've been soft, you've been lenient, you haven't demanded complete and thorough obedience in all cases, and so he really doesn't respect you. You've got to earn that respect by being firm and tough as a ruler there in the home. Now, again, you say he pretends not to be hearing when we call him to do a job. Now, why does he pretend not to be to hear? Because he doesn't want to do the job. And then you ask the question about depriving him of the undesirable. But you quote me. You say your book says to make his undesirable behavior undesirable. And then you said you rubbed vinegar across his mouth when he was a smart mouth. That's not what I meant. You're not making his behavior undesirable. You're making yourself undesirable by rubbing vinegar across his mouth. What was it that he was wanting to do? Say he wanted to avoid carrying the garbage out. So when I told him to carry the garbage out, he smart-mouthed me, so I rubbed vinegar across his mouth. No. The issue was carrying the garbage out. That was the undesirable behavior, his failure to do it. Why did he not want to do it? Because it was painful. It was work. It disturbed his continuity of whatever else he was doing. So how do you counter that? You get your little switch. You say, carry the garbage out. He fails to carry it out. Walk up to him, take that little switch, and swat him, and say, now carry the garbage out. And if he fails to, swat him again. Say, carry the garbage out. And so eventually you will get him to respond to you, and he will carry that garbage out, and he will obey, just as we talked about in our last tape. Now, if you make him carry it out and then give him another job, so, okay, now you can go clean the garage out because you didn't carry the garbage out. If he complains, so, okay, after you get through cleaning the garage out, then you can cut the grass. He says, not my turn. Well, it is now because you just smart-mouthed me. Well, you're giving me too much work, to, okay, you can trim the hedges also. And just keep adding the work. And if he has to work solid for a week without schooling, without rest, without playtime, just explain to him, look, when I tell you to do something, you do it or you get more work to do. I guarantee you, when he is firmly convinced that you are always going to compound his work when he seeks to get out of work, he will begin to do his work thoroughly, he'll do it completely, and he'll not complain about it because he knows it's not to his advantage to complain. So you haven't earned that kind of respect because you haven't been tough. You've been mealy-mouthed with him. I can tell that by reading your letter. So it's time that you got firm and stood your ground and made some demands. You got any other comments on that, Deb?
Yeah. I would buy him a watch, a good watch, and I would teach him how to make that watch buzz at a certain time. So he had a little alarm. And then I would tell him, set your alarm for 3 o'clock because you need to get back here to do your work. And if he old mom, I'd say, hey, never mind. You can stay here and do this other work that I had planned on doing myself. After 2 or 3 days like that, he will set his watch. And then you can have a list that he knows that he does every day. And if he has a list, he will have a tendency to know it's his job. He doesn't. It's not something you lay on him. It's his requirements. It's what he'll do is he'll get to where he does it fast and sloppy so he can get free. So then you'll have to deal with that. Any job that's done sloppy, then it has to be done over again. Plus he has to do extra jobs. And he'll know what the extra job is ahead of time. It's written down. So when I know with my daughters that are at home, they like to have a semblance of a schedule. They like to know that if they work a certain amount of school books during the day, then they, if they do extra ones, then they will be through early in the year. They like that schedule. They like to see it covering ground. Same way with work. They like to know what we're going to do during the day, what we're going to do during the week, what projects I have lined up. And they basically do all my work. They cover, in fact, they do all of several families' work because they have people that they work for, but they can, they garden, they do all the laundry, they do all the dishwashing, they do everything, but they know ahead of time what is required of them, so it's not a grumbling time. And if it were to be a grumbling time, they know that I would just say, hey, you don't need to play volleyball this evening. You can stay home and we'll clean out closets. And we cleaning out closet means they will clean out closets. I just check on them every once in a while.
All right. Just the other day, Shauna came home from babysitting, and she told a story. I don't remember the details of it, Deb. Maybe you do. It was with Clint and Renee, and she had told them to do something. And do you remember the details of that story?
Yeah, she told them that they were going to have the house clean for their mom and dad when the mom and dad came home. They were going to have to clean their mom and dad's bedroom. So they went in to clean the bedroom while Shoshana was washing the dishes, and they came back out and said, we're finished. Shoshana said, you couldn't have cleaned that bedroom in 5 minutes. Are you sure it's clean? Yes, it is clean. So Shoshana said, well, if I go check that the bedroom is not clean, not only are you going to have to clean the bedroom again, you're also going to have to mop the floor. Now I'm going to ask you again, is the bedroom clean? They both looked at each other and said, we'll be right back. And they ran into the bedroom and spent about 15 more minutes. And they came back out and said, okay, now it's clean. And so by this time she had finished washing the dishes and was cleaning off the counters, and she turned to him and she said, okay, you want me to come and check the bedroom, because if the bedroom's not clean, the offer still holds. You will mop this floor if the bedroom's not clean and does not pass my inspection. They looked at each other and grinned and said, just one more time. So they ran to the bedroom and they spent about 5 more minutes, and they came back and said, yes, it is totally clean. So she went into the bedroom and it was totally clean. And she said she was real impressed that 2 small children could do such a spotless job, not only on the bedroom, but the dresser tops and the closet and the bathroom, the whole area in there, and do it cheerfully and energetically and work together so smoothly. And she's just a 15-year-old girl babysitting, and yet she had enough firmness and resolve without being angry, without taking personal offense. They're just children that she was responding to. Are you sure you're satisfied with this job? Because if you're not satisfied, you're going to be mopping the floor. And they looked at that big floor and that big mop, and they knew that if the job of the floor wasn't mopped well, they would be vacuuming the whole house. So there's ways to do things.
Now, she's babysat them before, and they knew that when she speaks, that's final. She never backs up. She never discusses it. She never argues with them. She never gets angry. She smiles the whole time. But they knew that for the 4 or 5 hours that Mom and Daddy were gone, that they would do one job after the other until the parents got home if they didn't do the job correctly. So it was just a matter of survival. They were seeking the easiest path, and the easiest path was to do a good job without complaining. Now, that's such a simple principle. It's so easy to apply. It just takes a parent who has a vision to say, okay, I'm going to make a demand. I'm going to stick with it. There will not be any backing up, no discussion, no reprieve. And once you establish yourself as the kind of person that always tells the truth when you make a threat, always stands by it, and you do so coolly without any anger, your children will just start obeying, and they will do it all the time. And it is absolutely amazing the response you'll get when you become firm.
Thanks for listening. I hope it was a blessing. Don't forget to check out Cane Creek Corner for this week's specials.